When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Janet Yellen, Secretary of the Treasury, former Chair of the Federal Reserve, to Beijing to meet with her opposite in the Chinese Communist Party government in Beijing and discuss the relationship between the United States and China in these fraught hours in which the discussion of the invasion of Taiwan is daily, weekly, and the scenarios for military conflict are routine. I welcome Gordon to comment on some of the metaphors being used by the financial media following Yellen's departure from China. For example, Bloomberg uses the term sure footing after the visit between the U.S. and China. The Bloomberg writers also use tie mending after the visit, mending ties. The Financial Times, which is the European version of these same events, says that the U.S. controls on investment will not harm China, All this is very delicate language and requires some explication because my reading of other news is that the Biden administration, continuing the careful work of the Trump administration with regard to Chinese economy, is continuing to make it very clear to Beijing that unless behavior changes, unless there are changes in its conduct and its rhetoric, we will continue to keep from China's economy the highest-end digital chips, the very best stuff, what you need to grow, what you need to prosper, the very best stuff. That would be private companies such as NVIDIA and TSMC and makers of the equipment that makes those high-end chips. There are other parts of the economy we can talk about, but that's the really good stuff. And Gordon, I do not read anywhere in these statements by the Treasury Secretary, or even better, by the media following the Treasury Secretary's departure, that the matter of the high-end chips have been addressed in any fashion. Do you see anything like that? Thank you.
John, not really. Earlier in the trip, Yellen did talk about how the United States would continue to impose measures that were related to its national security. And in her trip-ending press conference, she talked about those measures, but said that the United States would issue them after consultation with all interested parties. And she included China in that group. So the Biden administration appears to go and will continue to impose these measures, but they may not be as strict as people had thought previously. Remember, there has been rumors for quite some time that the president would issue an executive order banning investments into certain sectors in China, especially those regarding artificial intelligence. They have not yet been imposed, and I suspect that there is going to be a long, drawn-out process as China tries to delay them.
Moving from Janet Yellen's conversations with a man by the name of Hu in Beijing, the question of the Chinese economy, Gordon. Nothing has changed since last we talked about it. It's a broken business plan. It's no longer growing. The unemployment number is unknown, but the young people coming out of university are urged to go into agricultural jobs. At the same time, I have anecdotal information, fresh, that the manufacturers are calling around seeking not only business, but seeking people to pay with cash orders that they may make in the future. They're desperate for cash at the manufacturing level. We can add to this the Chinese economy's inability to manufacture the high-end chips and the threats to cut off certain critical elements as tit-for-tat with the West having to do with digital electronics. All of that remains unchallenged. That's all information that's good, Gordon. What did Yellen's trip do about that? What is China and the U.S. going to do about all of that? It's not going to change without China's behavior changing.
Yes, and you're right. I think the Chinese economy is essentially zero growth or maybe even contracting. They reported 4.5% growth in the first quarter. Official Chinese sources are saying that the economy will grow 6.2% in the first half. That's just impossible. Right now, for you look at the export orders, you look at imports, you look at property sales. All of these factors indicate that the Chinese economy is contracting or at really minimal growth. And this really, I don't think, was addressed by Yellen, at least not in her comments. She probably would want to stay away from that. But Chinese leaders, I think, are living in a world which is not quite connected to reality because they're acting as if they have robust growth, and they clearly do not.
And this question, I'm not sure that we could rescue the Chinese economy if we wanted to, because it was built on a lot of false statements. It was built on the idea that state-owned enterprises are better than private enterprises, that subsidies are adequate in order to compete on the world scale, and that dumping is a correct capitalistic source, that theft of information of IP is agreeable. All those are the premises of the Chinese miracle, which is, to the anecdotal reporting, the Chinese miracle is over. So I'll ask you, Gordon, could we rescue them if we wanted to?
No, we couldn't. The problem for China right now is that structurally it is at a point where the debt crisis is going to hit at some point. China can postpone a debt crisis, as it has for quite some time, because it's got strong currency walls. But Xi Jinping is not going to take the advice that is necessary to avoid that crisis, which I think even if he were to take the world's best advice, the situation is so far gone that there would be a crash of some sort. Right now, I think the Chinese leaders are just hoping that they can postpone and get from month to month. But that seems to be about all they can do. And certainly, this situation is well beyond our ability to influence events with the Xi Jinping.
And the counter-espionage law, let's bring up that. Why would anybody want to invest in China, knowing that if you visited your enterprise, you could be detained because you have data that is in the possession of the state at the same time? Why invest anywhere in China with that scale of threat?
And that's exactly the response of foreign business. The amendments to the counter-espionage law, which went into effect on the first of this month, essentially criminalized the possession of any information that relates not only to state secrets, which was the old law, but also to national security and national interests. That phrase, national interest, covers everything, John. And that means that China can come in and shut down your operation because you're collecting normal business information. It makes it impossible to do business there.
Therefore, we come to 30 seconds, Gordon, the conclusion. The Yellen visit was politics, not economics, correct?
I think so. I think the best explanation is that Yellen was trying to convince Europe and others that the United States was doing all that it could to try to bring China around. This is sort of like a last gasp effort. And then after that, Washington will actually impose those costs that are necessary.
Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. Mysteries to be solved in the coming years. It might take 100 years for us to figure out what China knew and when they knew it about their failed business plan. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.